Welcome! This is the Gender-Based Violence Information Management System, or the GBVI Mess, the podcast where we talk about safe, ethical, and useful GBV data management in humanitarian settings. My name is Christy. I'm the GBV Information Management Specialist at IRC, and I'm here with Tamar Kadane from UNHCR. Hey!
Hello!
So today we wanted to talk a little bit about data analysis. The GBVI Mess produces a wealth of information, and it can be quite overwhelming if you're not used to doing data analysis.
And then again, even if you are used to doing data analysis, if you're working in a humanitarian setting, often time is of the essence. And unfortunately, what we seem to see is that organizations avoid doing data analysis because they think that there's so much information that they'd need hours just to make sense of the data, or they don't know where to start, so they just go into kind of denial mode, which is a shame because actually it doesn't take that long to get something meaningful out of the data. And on the other hand, if you don't use the data, then we shouldn't be collecting it to begin with because it's just not ethical.
Right.
I think, yeah, we owe it to the survivors who've shared their data with us to make sure that we're using it to reduce the risks around GBV and improve the overall response.
So today we were thinking to just give a few hints and tips about where to start with your analysis. If you're short on time, if you're new to analysis, if you just need to know how to use the data to improve the GBV response, here are some tips on data points that you can look at. And we're hoping this will be a series through the podcast of different data points you can look at and how you might use that for analysis. So what we're thinking is that there's really two levels where you can conduct data analysis. The first internally is within your organization, and the second is at the interagency level. Both are incredibly important, and they may look slightly different because you may internally have more specific priorities. So if you're doing analysis internally, perhaps the most basic data point you could look at is the number of cases being reported to you. You could compare this number with the number of caseworkers you have and ask yourself if this is a reasonable proportion, if you need to hire more caseworkers to ensure you're really hitting that point of quality case management services. And that one data point really is probably the most simple and also one of the most actionable data points that we have in the GBVIMS. Another one that you might look at is the relationship of the survivor and the alleged perpetrator. I know for myself, this is probably one that I look at almost every single time I do data analysis. It tells you a lot about the threats survivors face and also about their vulnerability. So, for example, in one country where we were doing analysis recently, there was a general perception that violence was committed by strangers outside of the community. But the data showed that actually a significant majority was perpetrated by intimate partners. And they use this information to shift the programming to adjust to working with survivors of domestic violence, also to look at points of access for survivors. And it also tells them a lot about the vulnerability and the threats facing survivors. You know, the violence is happening within their home. So how do we need to restructure our programming? Another one that I look at very commonly is the range of days between the incident and report. This one data point is a great starting point to learn about access. You can see broadly how long it takes for survivors to report. If a lot are not reporting until 2 weeks to a month after the incident, you know there's an obstacle for access. And this isn't always just about raising awareness, right? The point is really an initial piece to analyze. Then after that, you could look at the time elapsed in reporting in comparison to the type of violence. So what does that tell you about access and help-seeking behavior? You might also use these results to compare to other sources of information beyond the GBVIMS, which we're always promoting, to tell you about the possible reasons for the delay. All of this is really actionable information you can use to tweak your programming accordingly.
I think at either level, it's always good. I mean, at either level, meaning whether you're doing internal data analysis within your organization or whether it's at the interagency level, it's always helpful to start with age and sex to consider what population groups you may need to tailor your programs for.
Right.
So if you see that a large number of survivors are children, then obviously you need to make sure that there are appropriate services in place for child survivors.
And that's something that, works internal and interagency and really can tell you, maybe you're only seeing adult women report. So you can see right there, yes, we need to have services for them, and why aren't others coming to report? Why are we not seeing any adolescents, for example? And then, related to that on the interagency level, I think there are, there's so much information you can gain from looking at the referral pathway. For starters, this tells us what services are needed by survivors, but are unavailable in that setting.
Yeah, I love to rave about the referral pathway information. I just think it's so incredibly useful. To give you an example, in one country we saw that survivors were not being referred to medical services because they were unavailable. And then, we thought, well, that's really strange because we know that medical services are actually available. But what this showed was that the referral pathway was really unclear for a lot of actors. And specifically, many of the actors didn't know that they could actually refer survivors to that particular clinic for medical services. So the GBVIMS data led to improved coordination in terms of service provision. And ultimately, and this is the most important thing, it led to survivors having better access to potentially life-saving treatments. In other contexts, and something that we see quite commonly, the data shows that safe houses are unavailable. So these numbers are what actually allow us to advocate for funding to establish safe houses, if that's an appropriate intervention in your place of operation. And just to give another example, because I think examples are helpful, is the one from Colombia, where many survivors were declining referrals to health services, even though they needed health services. So when we decided to put together a formal research project that would try and understand better why survivors, despite needing health services, were declining referrals. And what we found was that it was most likely a result of the poor quality of health services. Survivors were not being treated very well. They weren't being treated with dignity. PEP kits were often unavailable. And in other places, survivors were having to pay for supposedly free services. So what the GBVIMS data helped us to do was basically provide a means through which to advocate for the improvement of services with the relevant health authorities.
Yeah, that's a really great example and something that's really tangible, very actionable thing that you could do based off what you see in the data there. I think regardless of whether you're doing internal or interagency analysis, incident location is also a super helpful data point. Are incidents happening at the latrines, the borders of the camp, at food distribution points, at schools, or at worst, at the service provider's office or premises?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that's a really self-explanatory one. It's often simple enough to just look at this data point and see where the risky areas are when it comes to GBV. And based off of that information, you'd be able to put together a plan to reduce the incidence of cases at these particular locations. Just to throw out yet another example, the brilliant example of Tanzania, where the data was showing that GBV was occurring in the bush or in the forest where women were going to collect firewood, IRC and UNHCR worked together to put together a plan to improve access to fuel within the camps so that women and girls wouldn't be forced to go and gather firewood in the forest where they were extremely vulnerable. So again, it's such a simple data point, but it's so actionable, and that's what we're always looking for, actionable data points.
Yeah, and this one's also a great example of points where we can combine it with other data sources, so looking at community assessments, safety assessments in combination here with GBVIMS data can tell you a lot just based off that incident location point. So there are a few key data points you can start with, internally comparing the number of incidents with the number of caseworkers, the relationship of the survivor and the perpetrator, the age and sex to see what population group you should target. Referral pathways to note where the gaps are in service provision and incident location to understand where GBV is occurring and where your prevention efforts might be focused. So that's it for today. A lot more in this series to come. Thank you for joining us. As always, be responsible with your data and learn more at gbvims.com.